The Click and Go Travel Podcast, fueling your wanderlust with far-flung, off-the-beaten-track destinations to just across the water and everything in between.
Welcome back to the Click and Go Travel Podcast. In studio with Paul and I, we have special guest Peter Cullen, our COO, and Zita Ford from our sales team. Peter and Zita are joining us to talk about one of their favorite destinations, Crete. Hi, Peter. Hi, Zita. Hi, again, Paul.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Hi.
You're very welcome. Thank you for joining us to discuss all about Crete. So we could dive right in. How do you get to Crete from Ireland? What are the options?
So you've got Aer Lingus twice a week, and they go to Heraklion. Uh-huh. And then you've got Ryanair three times a week and they go into Hania. One is east, one is west.
So two different airports to fly
into. It's a really big island, Jill. Like Crete is the largest of the Greek islands.
Okay.
So really, really quite extensive. And from east to west, it's about 260 kilometres. What's that? That's a Dublin to Cork?
Yeah.
More or less distance, if not a little bit more. But from north to south, so it's a thin, long island.
Okay.
And all of the resorts are on the north coast. And Hania is over on the west side of the island and Heraklion is more kind of central and then east.
Yeah. So they'd cater for very specific resorts.
Okay. Yeah, to make the transfers easier.
Okay.
Yeah. But five times a week, five flights a week, that's quite a lot.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
And Crete would be a seasonal route, right? So just for the summer.
Yes.
Pretty much, yeah. It's a very lived in island. 650,000 people live there. But from a holiday point of view, very much summertime. So from start of April to the end of October. That's when the flights operate. They're really well served.
And what would the flight time be?
You're looking at 4.5 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, you're right down in the southern Med.
Good distance.
Yeah, it's like similar distance to Malta.
Okay.
You know, and that far south. So it means you're guaranteed great weather all summer long. Like from April through to October, you're going to have stunning weather. I'm sure you guys had great weather when you were there.
Incredible. Yeah.
When did you go, Peter?
I went at the start of June.
Okay.
So it wasn't, I suppose the season was just picking up, wasn't too busy yet. And I flew down into Heraklion. It wasn't like a very early flight. It was late morning, actually. And by the time we landed there, it was dusk. It was still bright, but getting dark. And we had a private transfer, which on paper is about 60 to 70 minutes, but there was very light traffic on the roads. That was a Thursday evening. And you kind of hug the coast, obviously, as you get down, you go down.
Yeah.
And it took us about 50 minutes to get down there. So it was quite, the transfer was quite painless and quick coming through the airport. Yeah, it was very quick. That time of the year, the temperatures, I'd say, consistently around high 20s, low 30s. It was warm, but not overbearingly warm.
Yeah.
I know it's subjective, but
yeah,
I thought it was bearable.
And you, Zita, how many times have you been?
I've been four.
Four times?
Four.
You just really like Crete.
I do. I'm going to Greece in September and I had to stop myself rebooking. I need to do somewhere new.
Yeah.
So I've done three times over the Heraklion side. So taken in, you know, you'll take in Stalas and Malia. So started off when I was 19. So it was one of the busy holidays.
Yeah.
And then the last time was 2019. We did 3 weeks, flew into Hania and did two different resorts. So that was just incredible.
Brilliant. And you, Paul, have you been to?
Yeah, I have. I've been a few times. More the same side of the island, the east side that Zita was in. We stayed in Ios Nikolas. So flying into Heraklion and heading down, like I would have driven through Hersonissos, Astalis, Malia, which were all kind of party central and almost rite of passage for loads.
They still are.
Yeah, they are. They're busy party destinations.
It's not for us anymore.
Speak for yourself. And we stayed in Agnik, as it was called, or Ios Nikolas, which is really pretty, very traditional resort. And then out beyond Ios Nikolas is a stunning area called Alunda. It is just absolute luxury hotels. It's five-star.
Yeah, there's a lot of upmarket.
Super luxury. Relais Chateau, leading hotels of the world. It's where the Greeks, when they're going to Crete and they're looking for luxury, they tend to flock to Alunda. But there's some really nice five stars right along the coast. All of the resorts are along that north coast. Great place to go.
Yeah. And where exactly is Crete situated?
Well, very far south in the Med. If you look at a map and you're over on the Med side and you have Greece, it's almost the most southerly of their islands.
Okay.
It's a good hour and a bit, hour and a half flight from Athens. Or it's quite a long overnight ferry if you were travelling from Athens. You flew once from Athens.
Flew once, yeah.
And it would have been over an hour?
I would have thought about an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the south of the island, on that side of the island, the sea is the Libyan Sea.
Okay.
So
okay.
on the other side of the island is the Libyan coast.
And it's so unpopulated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The south coast.
We did a couple of trips when we were there on our last holiday and it's just barren. Now it's beautiful, but it's so different.
Yeah.
You've very few resorts and towns.
Okay.
Everything that happens, happens on the north.
On the north, yeah.
Okay.
The main cities, the two airports, the towns, the beach resorts, everything. But it's a really, really well-served island in terms of infrastructure, ports, airports.
Yeah.
Easy to get around. Like as the guys are saying, transfer is a piece of cake.
Yeah.
We rented a car. Like you wouldn't have an issue renting a car there.
No.
You know, some people say, oh, I wouldn't rent a car in X.
Yeah.
We had a car for a week of our 3 weeks. The roads were fine. Never really got lost.
There was traffic.
No.
Yeah. The cities of Heraklion and Hania and Rethymno are not huge.
No.
Like they're big. Like you wouldn't drive in Rethymno, for example, in the downtown.
No.
Very like you can't.
No.
Because it's real historical.
Yes.
And it's very much a port town. But very easy to get around. And then it opens up so many options for you to do sightseeing because the island is very historic. You know, like there's so many influences, the Greek, the Italian influence. Mm.
There's so much to see.
Yeah.
I think it's probably one of the one places you would go and say you could do something different every single day.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very good. And Peter, what made you choose Crete?
Well, it wasn't to do something different every single day.
You were looking for a flop,
it was to go on a relaxing holiday. Although I get it, there are those options there. I've been to Spain and different parts of Spain many times and France and Italy. I just wanted to go somewhere a little bit different, somewhere that I hadn't been before, somewhere I could guarantee sun, but not too hot. And just a different experience because I'd heard about Crete and obviously a very historical destination, but I'd never been to it. I've been to some of the other islands around Greece, but never Crete. So it was an opportunity to just choose somewhere a little bit different, very accessible, as Paul and Zita has said.
And how did it live up to your expectations?
When I said I got a transfer 50 minutes, I was staying in Rethymno, which is, you've got a kind of a beachfront of about a kilometre or two where it's various shops and restaurants and hotels. And then as you go down towards the old town and into the old port, you get a real sense of history down there. And you can get lost in those little alleyways, like the amount of shops there. And, you know, you should really bring some spare room in your luggage because the opportunity to buy is very high, especially jewellery.
Yeah,
a huge amount of jewellery shops. The abiding memory I think I will have is of the sunset. Every evening at dinner, there was, you could see people who had newly arrived and as the sun was going down over the horizon, it's just spectacular. And like, you know, they talk about the sunsets in different islands around the Greece, but I hadn't heard it talked about from
Crete. No, I haven't either.
And it was just amazing. Like it was, you could nearly set your watch by it every evening. You just see it going down slowly. And it's just spectacular. And you, like, it's just along the seafront. So it's not like it's, I think in Santorini, the sun sets on the other side and it's, you know, to get accommodation there, it's very expensive.
Mm.
But here it's not. And then the old town itself, like it, there's a marina and then within the marina, there's a smaller marina. And around the side of that marina, there's all restaurants. So you're kind of on the side of it. And as the sun sets and the lights come up around the town, it's just a very kind of, you know, magical atmosphere.
Mm.
And then they have this pirate ship that comes in around a small little marina. You can go on it yourself.
Yeah.
It's about 25 euros. But it just adds to the atmosphere. You've everybody eating their evening meal. You've got the sun setting. You've this old, very authentic pirate ship coming into the little marina and turning around. And it's just, if you can imagine that, it's just an idyllic setting.
Sounds gorgeous. Even though it's a big island, it sounds like it was like small island feel in terms of Rethymno.
Very much so, yeah. Like I was about 30-minute walk from the old city. In the early evening, it would be very warm, so you probably wouldn't walk it, but you'd get a taxi very easily, get down there in 5-7 minutes, potter about then before your evening meal, and then go in to the restaurant. Then you would walk home because it would have cooled down.
Yeah.
And you could walk off your dinner. and there's always opportunity as you're walking home, obviously, to pop in somewhere new just for a nightcap or whatever. But it's very accessible. It is very accessible. Like, you wouldn't be walking very far at any time to get to the heart of the action.
That's good.
Let's explore a little bit of the west side of the island first in terms of like Peter's boat met Rathimno.
Yeah.
We might get Zita's take on the other resorts, because there's mm-hmm. there's a couple of resorts in that western area. So you have Rathimno.
Well, you've Hania itself, which is more of a town, but people do stay in Hania for a week. You've Rathimno, which Peter has been to. And we went in for one of our day trips and it was beautiful. Mm. You've Georgiopolis. So we did our first week in Georgiopolis and then we went to Agia Marina. So Agia Marina is quite a long stretch and then it ends up, I'm sure you've heard of the Plantanius area.
Oh, yes.
So that kind of is at the end of Agia Marina.
Okay.
So Agia Marina would be quite big, quite spread out. So we did 2 weeks there and both were completely different again. So if you're looking at those three places, Georgiopolis, Rathimon and Agia Marina, they're all completely different.
And are they?
Isn't that lovely? Yeah. Like in quite a close area.
Completely
to
different.
Get a
yeah.
Totally different
yeah.
vibe. Tell us a little
so
bit.
So when we went to Georgiopolis, it's small. Beach is just beautiful. It's a little bit more underdeveloped, let's say, than Agia Marina, but in the nicest way. It's really, really charming. Doesn't have any of the kind of the historic feel that Rathimon would have. Like it wouldn't have the port and that, but a very laid back beach vibe. So, as I say, the beach was incredible. You know, you've got that white church on a walkway out in the middle of the sea. So it lights up at night. So
okay.
really beautiful. Small restaurants, little tavernas, little bars, all maybe a little bit slightly bohemian feel to it, but gorgeous. So laid back.
And that's all Georgiopolis.
That's Georgiopolis.
Even the name sounds great.
Yeah. yeah. Now there's,
doesn't it?
But the accommodation is just fantastic. You know, like we had the Georgiopolis Beach Hotel, which was a little 3-star and it's probably still one of my favourite spots that I've stayed in. The food was incredible.
But sometimes it's just that, isn't it? Sometimes it doesn't have to be the wow hotel.
No, it was just beautiful. It was so nice sitting directly on the beach. And like that, in that resort, there's some fantastic accommodation. They do have a 5-star. There's a couple of 4-stars. There's 3-stars, but all really, really nice. And then Agia Marina, completely different again. So you've got, it's a very, very long stretch of beach. And like that, you've got a roadway that kind of crosses that. There isn't a promenade of shops directly on the beach. The road kind of splits it. But like that, then it's restaurants and bars and a little bit livelier. We stayed up closer to the old village of Agia Marina and that was different again. That was so pretty. But like that, we were 10-minute walk downhill to life if you wanted it, or up the hill, maybe 5 minutes, and you had a completely different aspect.
Wow. Bigger resort?
Yeah, much bigger.
Livelier?
Busier, I would have said. Probably a little bit more going on. I still don't think it would. Probably again more. I've just said couples, families.
Yeah,
you
For
probably wouldn't get the
like,
18 to 20s.
Yeah,
loving it there.
Yeah, I kind of have a sense that western side of the island.
Yeah,
Hania, Rathimnon. Agia Marina, Rathimnon, Hania, Georgiopolis is quieter compared to
definitely
the east side. Like the party resorts of Hersonissos, Stylus, Malia.
Very different.
Okay. Mm. And then Hania itself, what would you make of Hania? That's where the airport is. So you fly into Hania for the western resorts generally.
It's a beautiful old town.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm. It's really nice. Kind of the charm of it to the old part of Rathimon, it's kind of that feel.
Yeah.
Very historic. You know, it's
That's
not
lovely,
like going to
it?
Somewhere in Lanzarote and you've got 7 resorts and they're all the same. This is everything is different.
Yeah. Different.
Yeah.
And that's cool because it's different
they
experiences.
They all have their own charm. Yeah.
And is Rathimno the picture postcard harbour, old harbour with those old Venetian, or is that Hania, with all those kind of Venetian houses?
It is.
That's Rathimno.
Yeah, that's Rathimno.
So it's the prettier probably of the two.
Hania doesn't look a lot different.
Okay.
In parts of it, yeah. It's,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
It
you
sounds
probably
like
have a nicer
lovely
selection of accommodation, I would say, in Rathimon, but Hania would be a working town as opposed to a resort.
Okay.
I don't know, would you go and kick back as much as you would in the others?
Mm. Okay. Mm. So I think what I'm picking up is Georgiopolis and Rathimno out of the four are probably coming in at your two favourites.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good.
Definitely.
Good. And good choice of restaurants, good food. Like, let's fantastic. Face it, like,
what's food the food? Yeah, what is the food like? What is the
food is amazing, and you know, you wouldn't really stray from the Greek
the
menu.
Greek food,
yeah, it's yeah. just so good.
Did you have a particular favorite Greek dish?
Oh God. Well, the Greek salad. I mean, you've never had a Greek salad unless you've had one in Greece. You know, they're just not the same.
And like, calling it a salad is just so disappointing compared to what it actually tastes like.
It's absolutely divine. And then, yeah, you mean your typical, you know, your gyros and your souvlakis. They're
and moussakas and stufados.
Yeah. Oh yeah, everything.
The food is great.
Food is incredible.
I really want to go back to Greece. Yeah. I really want to go back to Greece. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have a favorite food, Peter?
Well, a favorite restaurant, yeah, it was in that marina down in the old town. It's a small little place called Zephyros, and it's a seafood restaurant. And you can't just turn up and kind of sit down because it's kind of a small place. So you have to book a few days in advance. So went down there the first day and we're looking around and asked, could we? And he said, no chance. So we booked for a couple of days in advance and sat down. And it's just the most amazing seafood you've ever tasted in the most amazing location, like, because you're actually on the sea there.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Some of the favorites I remember thinking back was a seafood pasta or shrimp and avocado salad. Mm-hmm. And it was just, you know, you can really taste the sea beside you too, and the atmosphere. And as I said, it's at twilight, so the sun was setting and you're having this amazing food. And that restaurant, it was small and and the owner was really, really friendly.
Okay.
And could, you know, really wanted to make sure that your visit and stay there were excellent, really cared about his reputation. It just, you really felt like you're well looked after and for very good value as well.
It's great.
Everything seemed to have been at a really high standard.
Okay.
You know, and it wasn't that it was expensive. It was just that the accommodation standard was a little bit nicer than other places you would be. The restaurant standards, the foods, everything just seemed to be at that another level. Service and
And then it's just that uniqueness. Like, it's lovely. I think sometimes when we're kind of thinking about holidays, it can be a bit generic in terms of where you go. And it might come down to flight availability or guaranteed sunshine or something in the winter. Mm. That means, for the most part, Greece is out of bounds.
Yeah. Mm.
Even though it shouldn't be, it should be more extended into the off season and into the winter season, because it is really pleasant in the winter. But I think that difference of Greece, that, like, everything from the music to the tradition to the culture to the food, it's less high rise. It just all feels a bit more
relaxed.
Yeah,
there's no high rise in Mykdymno.
No,
I think the highest they got was maybe 4 or 5 floors that I could see. It was all very low rise.
Same. I can't remember seeing anything that would.
No.
Yeah. And they don't seem to even do the big chains of hotels. Yeah. They're all kind of smaller, privately owned.
Which is lovely.
It's
lovely.
The charm, probably.
It is. Yeah. And I think when they're all, a lot of them are family owned.
Yeah.
They take incredible pride in their service, and I think what you get is just completely different.
Yeah.
You know,
brilliant.
Great.
And how many days would you recommend staying in Crete, like, for a first time visitor? Would a week do it? Would you recommend a little bit more?
I wouldn't do less
the first time. Yeah.
Yeah.
We did 3 weeks the second time.
Yeah.
But we did 3 weeks the first time.
Yeah.
I wouldn't get it now.
Sorry, the fourth time was 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I would say if you could do 10 days, a week at a minimum.
And, like, you can, Jill, because the flight frequency is there. Mm. You know, like, you have Aer Lingus twice a week into Heraklion, Ryanair 3 times a week into Hania. So, you know, it's a long flight. It's a 4.5-hour flight. They're 2 hours
ahead.
Mm. So put it in.
Day one is gone.
Put that into the mix. And you are traveling quite a distance.
Yeah.
So, and the flight is usually a chunky element to the cost of the holiday. So, you know, staying an extra 3 nights is really minimal.
Yeah.
And you've so much to do.
And you've tons to do.
And if you want 2-centred, we can do that for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can mix and match.
Yeah,
and
we did 2-centred when we were there, and it just worked so well.
And what were your highlights of Crete, Sita? What was the top things that you liked to do?
So for our middle week, we rented a car because we knew if we had the car the whole time, it would just sit there. So we rented it for the middle week and we said, right, we're going to do something every day. And the cleaning lady that used to come in to us, she used to say, what are you doing today? And we used to say, well, you tell us. And she'd say, I think you should go here. And I think, so every day she'd come in and she'd say, I have an idea. And we went where she said, and we went to the most amazing places, from Georgiopolis, We did Cournos Lake, which is spectacular. We went there, we actually cycled to that from the hotel. But when we were in Agia Marina, we did Stalos Beach, which we'd never have kind of found only for her. Then, you know, there's the Elefanisi Beach. Remember the old Bounty ad with the pink sand?
Yeah.
We did a day trip into Rethymnon, which we loved. And then we went down to a place called Lutra. Now that was a long day, but it was, my sister had been a couple of times, said, you have to do this. So we drove about 3 hours down to Hursfakin and took a boat, even though it is on mainland, you take a boat to it. And that was my absolute highlight.
Sounds great.
That was pretty special. It was picture postcard beautiful.
Very good. Mm. And what about yourself, Peter? Did you have a
I had less time there, so I didn't do as much exploring as Zisa did. My holiday was much more beach and pool type of setup, which was what I wanted and what I got. But the vibe was really chilled out and relaxed, the general vibe of Rethymnon. The people were very friendly. The food was amazing. And for me, the highlights, as I've said before, was just those sunsets. Doesn't happen very often when you're sitting having a meal al fresco and you're looking at a sunset. That's even when you're away in other countries, it doesn't happen very often. Yeah. So that's kind of unique for me, by memory.
Because like your crystal clear skies, clear seas, lovely areas, nothing blocking your view because we don't have that high rise.
Nothing blocking your view.
And I think what the guys are saying is it's the perfect combo of if you want to just, you know, travel and flop and just rest and relax and recharge. Or if you want to do a bit more, there's plenty to do and see.
Oh yeah. In the sea, like there was lots of water sports going on. Yeah. You know, there was jet ski and parasailing.
Yeah.
And that was very busy. There was lots of people, you know, doing those type of activities. And I was just looking at them.
You know, nobody should be telling you what to do.
My other 2 weeks now were that. My middle week was the go. But the other weeks were pure sand and sun.
Yeah, yeah.
And will we do a quick flip over to the east side, Jill, and just kind of do a catch up on those resorts, Ita?
Yeah.
So close to Heraklion, you have the Hersonissos, Stalos,
Malia,
and then
Elunda,
Ias Nicholas, and then on to Elunda. Mm-hmm. And they are busier. They are definitely more developed.
Yeah, definitely. They're the ones that when I started going years ago, you could only get there on a charter flight. So that's obviously all changed. So if you were Irish at that time, it was Hersonissos. If you were English, you were in Malia, and then Stalos set between. That was the kind of the thing, you know, and it was even so much more basic back then.
Oh, yeah.
But it has changed. Yeah. So Stalos is now more family oriented resort. It's really, really come on. My son was there last year and sending videos to us, and I had been there twice before and it was completely different. Hotels were beautiful, really, really nice. Malia is still your party town.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're going to get your leaving certs and your college students.
Yeah.
And Hersonissos, I don't really hear a lot about now.
No, it was very much, it was almost kind of like Ireland on tour.
Yeah, it was.
Hersonissos and Piscopiano.
Yes, Piscopiano and Gouvets.
Like they were probably 80s, 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In terms early of, 90,
in,
yeah.
In terms of holidays and all of that.
Yeah.
And then, like, my memory of Ias Nicholas, like, when I look at photographs of Agnic, it looks like Rethymnon, that kind of harbour area, small town around that area, and then further out to Elunda.
Yeah.
But just, it's different. It's just lovely, and it has so much going for it. Yeah.
And then just to finish off, would you have any top tips for someone visiting Crete for the first time?
I would say go for as long as you can.
Yeah.
I think I would definitely look at doing a couple of little trips. I'm not a great one for trips on holidays. This one was a little bit different. There's tons to see. Mm-hmm. There's just tons to see. You know, you could have a list as long as your arm. That Elefanisi Beach, as I was saying, that's just
famous.
Famous. It's got pink sand.
And it is pink. Sounds amazing.
It's gorgeous. Yeah. And the likes of your Cournos Lake. We were saying earlier, I think the Samari Gorge, that's the one that I would love to do. You know, other than that, everything else, the standard is really high. The food is really good. The service, the weather.
So you can't go wrong.
Value for money is great.
Incredible value for money. So I would just say, just go.
Just go. That's your tip.
Do it.
Like the flights are there. Like we see it now. Like Crete is kind of in around within the top 10 or thereabouts in terms of our sun destinations. And it's great to see that. And it's, you know, there's tons of knowledge in the office around the hotels and the destinations and the resorts. And we'll include a link to the Greek Tourist Board website, which is packed with information and really good source of info. And like you were saying, that Cimmerian Gorge is great. Don't think I'd be doing it in the summertime.
No.
It kind of runs from the north to the south, and you're right down in this gorge, almost like a canyon scenario. But just brilliant. And I think one of the other great things in terms of Crete, think of it in terms of the off season. You know, you can go early and you can go late, and you are going to get
May and October would be beautiful months because you're still going to get the sun, maybe a little bit better value.
Even better value. Yeah. Like flight prices are going to be lower, accommodation prices are going to be lower, and you're going to get gorgeous weather because you're that far south in the Med. Mm. Peter, any thoughts? What would your tips be?
Well, if you're staying in that one resort of Ruthimno, I think just make time to explore the old city. Like, I think we only uncovered a little bit of it, but there's so many different small alleys to go down. And during the day too, it's a good place to go to get lost in because you're kind of sheltered from that really intense sun. But yeah, just get lost, go off the beaten track. You know, just, as you do sometimes on holidays, you find yourself lost, but discovering kind of new things down alleyways. For me, Ruthimno was just a really nice vibe, just a really chilled out place. Guaranteed sun, and just somewhere a little bit different. You know, if you're looking for somewhere that you haven't been to before,
because I think everybody's heard of it.
They've heard of it,
I don't think they realise how much it has to offer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and how easy it is to get there. Yeah. Unfortunately, only flights, I think, out of Dublin at the moment, isn't it?
Yes.
Nothing out of Cork and Shannon as yet. So hopefully that might change, which would be a great addition.
Yeah. Great. Thank you very much for listening. And thank you for joining us, Peter and Zita. And thank you for sharing all the information on Crete. And if you have any suggestions for us, please email us at podcast@clickandgo.com. And if you'd like to follow us on our social media channels, we're on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and we also have a YouTube channel. So subscribe to us there. Great. Thank you for listening and thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.